Hello and Happy New Year! Welcome to 2020's first episode of Baby Steps, the first steps to understanding the paradox of parenting. If it is your first time here, we are so excited to have you. My name is Danielle Ochieng. I am an early childhood education specialist by passion and profession with a degree in the same. I'm currently an early years curriculum designer and consultant and have been working with children for over 10 years in different capacities. Teacher, counselor, guide, friend, confidant, well, actually everything. And this always spans through all ages, 0 to 18 plus years, but I focus on the early years and particularly 0 to 5 years because it's the foundation of everything about children. So I hope you are as excited for 2020 as I am, or even much more than I am. I mean, keep in mind that you have the power to determine how your year turns out. So commit all your ways to the Most High and He will take care of it and try to stay positive through it. Anyway, this is no motivational talk. I just thought I'd encourage us a bit early. So back to why we're here, our children. And since it's the beginning of the school year for our Kenyan system, and our kids are moving to a new grade, so expectations are higher, and it's a new term for the system. So I thought it would be great to start this year with us learning a little bit more of how children learn, how best they understand any new information and process it, and how each of the learning experiences and understanding of what is taught is as different and unique as fingerprints, so that maybe after this we can help learning be a better experience for them. I'm all about beautiful experiences in classrooms or where kids just love school. So, drum rolls! It's time for another Did You Know fact. Did you know that everyone has a learning style that is unique to them? First of all, what do I mean by learning styles? Well, the way I grasp content that is being taught or explained might be very different from the way like my sister or you learn it. So it's basically a popular concept in psychology and education, and they are intended to help us identify how people learn best. So why, again, did I decide to bring this topic up? Well, apart from the fact that it is the beginning of a school term or year, well, it's also a lot to do because our children might be struggling to understand concepts in school, especially because, but not limited to, they're not being taught how they learn. So maybe their grades aren't reflecting well, or school has become stressful for them, and they just don't seem to grasp contents in certain subjects. So research being as wide as this world, there are many theories and concepts regarding how many learning styles there are, but most agreed upon is the four that I will soon mention. So, as I briefly take us through these learning styles, I want us to take a moment to pause and see if we can tell which style each of our children learns best in, so that you can discuss it with them depending on their age, their schools, ensure that your child and other children are gaining the most out of the learning experience. It'd also be great if you would share this podcast with other parents, teachers, and school leaders so that they understand the importance of including every child in their instruction. I think also good to note is that it's not always possible to incorporate all the four learning styles in one lesson, but teachers should strive to have at least three different learning styles embedded in their mode of instruction so that they vary their styles in different lessons, so we make sure that every child is catered to. And this applies through all learning, even at home. You could be giving instructions to your child, you've talked, and they've zoned out, you know. Or they're fidgeting. Usually it's probably because they're not understanding best through that concept, or they're trying to grasp it in the best way that they know. Okay, so I'll mention the four styles briefly, and then briefly explain what each is about. By the way, it will actually also help you understand how you learn best, so that you can also get the best out of your learning experiences, whether it's at work, whether it's in school, wherever you are. So the four styles are visual learners, auditory learners, reading stroke writing learners, and kinesthetic learners. So these are categorized in what is known as the VARK model, V-A-R-K, and was developed by Neil Fleming, a teacher from New Zealand in 1987, and is one of the most well-known and accepted models of classifying learning styles. This model classifies them into the four types based on how they take in new material and everything, and also helps with teaching strategies and study tips. This was actually inspired, apart from the fact that I am in the education system. I was talking with a parent about it and we're helping her child understand his learning style and also how best to study through it. So yeah, so I'm just going to give a bit about each style. We'll start with the V, which is the visual learners. So just as the term dictates, these learners prefer the use of visual cues. They learn through their eyes, you know, kula kwa macho. Yeah. So they learn through best anything that engages their sight. I mean, we're talking charts, images, maps, graphic organizers, pictures, and so on. And then there's the A's, which is the auditory learners. Auditory hearing. They consist of people who interact best through listening and speaking. Questions and answers, you know, the group discussions, audio aids like recordings and podcasts. R, the reading and writing learners. They learn best through reading and writing what is going on. You know, the devoted note takers and avid readers. They prefer to translate everything into written words, or they can study pages upon pages of books and not tire. They work best with the traditional way of instruction, actually, because they listen and write down, which they refer to later. Now, for the last letter of the model, which is K, the kinesthetic learners, they need hands-on activities and movement. So kinesthetic is movement, energy, body, you know, yeah, energy. So they tend to appear very fidgety and restless, but that's only because they need to move around and physically engage to be able to concentrate or understand. And keeping them seated for very long without any activity can actually totally lose them. So the problem we have in our education system is that they focus a lot on the R, the readers and writers. But do we really blame the system? Well, not necessarily, because that is what they know, how they were trained. But it also doesn't mean that things should continue like that, because a lot of our children are suffering under the system. That is why as I design the curriculum for the early years, I try and ensure that at least three of the learning styles are incorporated in each lesson. So now, as at the end of this, the ball will be in your court as a parent. Figure out how your child learns best. And if you're a teacher, school leader, ensure your instruction has all learners covered through each lesson so that no one is left behind. Before I forget, by the way, most learners learn best through a combination of two styles. Like, there's always one predominant. Like, for example, your child could be like me, an auditory learner. So I'm the type that has to be in class when instruction is being delivered. If I miss hearing a lecture, I usually have a bit of a gap in understanding and catching up for the next class, but that doesn't mean that I don't understand when I read. It just means that I understand quickest when I listen, whether it's firsthand or through a recording. So second for me is reading and writing. Yeah, I tend to read and write a lot, papers everywhere. At the end of this, like, once we discover what works for each child and implement it, evidence proves that it actually increases student participation in class and has significant influence on their behavior and learning, because they are finally being catered to. They're listening to a language they understand. They also gain, when they're also taught through their preferred style, it shows an increase in the levels of comprehension, motivation, and metacognition. That is like their higher order thinking skills. So learners also have been seen, by the way, to have no frustration in class. They don't get bored, they don't get irritated, they don't get agitated because they're not seeming to gain concepts, because they're being taught how they learn and how they understand. And one thing about being a teacher, because, or teachers in general, is when it comes to teaching, we tend to teach how best we learn. So a teacher who's a kinesthetic learner will ensure that all lessons are like 100% hands-on and very active, yet there's a student who just wants to sit down and just have notes dictated or given to them. As we figure how our children learn, a few tips for each type of learner. The visual learner, the first one, usually ensure that what would have otherwise been presented in words is presented in form of a visual summary, like graphs, diagrams, pictures, charts, labels, and so on. Some characteristics unique to them is that they typically remember what they see than what they hear. So even if it's something they have read, it's a visual cue that they have read, they'll tend to remember it more. They prefer reading a story for themselves than listening to it. They learn from seeing things written out on a board. They use diagrams and charts to understand ideas. They study by looking over things. They use color to organize information, prefer like quiet time when they're studying instead of being in groups. They don't understand, not necessarily, but they may not understand verbal instruction as accurately because they're not audio learners. And like really good at remembering faces, but not necessarily names, because visual, yeah, thinking you're getting the hang of it. So these guys are actually amazing, by the way, when it comes to sense of direction, guys who can see and remember things, whether they saw them in the daylight, directions in the daylight or at night. So actually, they're actually very, very good with maps. And they also tend to be tidy and organized, you know. And they're the type who, I had a colleague like that. Whenever we are going through a training or something, you'd see him doodling or drawing or scribbling something, even on his laptop, or because that's how best he understands. It's not because he's not listening, because you know sometimes you find kids who draw a lot and the teacher would beat them, and then because they're not concentrating, but they're actually concentrating, they just need something visual. So usually they're either representing what they're hearing or something totally unrelated, but still helping them understand. So like if a child is this kind of learner, ask them to draw what they've learned. For the older ones, they can represent it in a diagram or a flow chart or whatever they prefer. Some love to draw. They're the type, like they're these kind of kids who color code their work. You know, the type who have a different color of pen for everything in their notes, and they consistently maintain that. Yeah, those are the kind of people. And they can also do the revision like that. For example, if they're learning about digestion, ask them to draw the process of digestion from the food being introduced to the mouth, going down to the pipe till it's excreted. And then they explain it to you because they have a visual aid. They may even create a whole comic about it. And when it comes to writing exams, the child will remember how their drawing went and the process of how they're explaining their drawing. And they're able to put it in words instead of making them sit with a textbook and cram words when they can understand better with no stress, in a way that best appeals to their learning style. So moving on to A, the auditory learner who prefers hearing information and prefers the spoken word. They need to attend classes, participate in group discussions, narrate what they have learned. You know, they speak, listen, you know, that's how they learn best. They need to listen to the information over radio or record on a device. So basically they need things to be talked through. You can have them record what is taught in class if it's allowed, that's for their study time, or record it for themselves at home. They can listen, record on a device, a phone, and recorder, whatever is available, then have themselves listen to themselves explain it as a way of studying. And yeah, then after that they can present it to you, a peer or anyone who's willing to listen. They can even do it in form of a song they compose about it, and it's a very famous way of getting people to understand stuff. Or you could get, I mean, YouTube has almost everything. Download it and give it to them to listen, sing, narrate, whatever works best with them. So moving on to the readers and writers. So they understand information that is displayed as words or texts. So they like to write down as they listen, and even more prefer reading books, newspapers, manuals. You know, the type of people that actually read the full terms and conditions before accepting them. Yes, those people actually do exist. So like let them interact with written media and incorporate things beyond the traditional textbook. So like if they're learning about machines, yeah, and it interests them, and you can see it interests them, give them a book, an article that goes deeper into those mechanics of machines, so that they can also learn something more beyond what's just in the traditional textbook and also get intrigued by it. So these are type of people, like even if you're giving them instructions at home, you know, the kids who you tell to do this, okay, that's if TV is not the distraction. But sometimes maybe you say, oh, you forgot and I told you this, they're probably writers. So, and readers. So have them write down the instructions you've given. When I come back home, I want XYZ. Have them write it down so they remember it. So our last category is the kinesthetic individuals who have a preference of amassing information through practice and experience. So they need the real objects or simulations, practical examples and concrete personal experiences. You know, like probably the type who jump over a building to see if it really hurts. I mean, because they need to learn it on their own, use the energy, use their bodies. So they need demonstrations of how things work. So if they're learning about engines, let them experience and test run an actual engine. Don't give them a visual about it. Don't explain to them. Don't give them something to read about it. Let them touch the engine and feel it and operate it. So the practice and application is what they need. So give them opportunities to practice what is preached. I mean, they can even dramatize it, by the way, because that's the body being used, the energy being used, the moving. That's what they need. Or they can make an actual model. For example, like that digestion thing, they can make a model about it using clay, using boxes, whatever. And this will stick with them for a while. I mean, they tend to appear fidgety, by the way, anxious or restless during lengthy classes or presentations because they have high energy. But it's not because they're not focusing, but it's because it's very hard for them to sit and understand while you're seated. So like it's a very vast topic, but I've tried to like summarize it into so this in this podcast doesn't take forever, and basically a very easy way for us to understand it. So there's a lot of information about it. You can find it online. There are tests to do, results are sent. For like the younger ones, I mean, you can give them a test. So what we usually do is we observe their preferences as they operate their day-to-day activities. So like when I'm first interacting with children, I usually have a variety of materials put out that appeal to different senses and different learning styles, and observe them over time, days, weeks, and then tend to see what does this child or each individual child tend to gravitate towards a lot, and boom, I know what learning style works best with each one of them. But there's a word of caution from the man who discovered this, Neil Fleming. He says, and I quote, "VARC is a beginning of a dialogue, not a measure of personality. It should strictly be used for learning, not for recreation or leisure. Some also confuse preferences with ability or strength." I mean, you can like something, but be good or not good at it, or any point in between. VARC tells you about how you like to communicate. It tells you nothing about the quality of that communication. Dr. Fleming also reports in his studies that when students finally discover that they all learn differently, their common reaction is like, "Oh, at last, I know I'm different. I'm not dumb," you know? And wouldn't it be relieving for our children to come to that understanding that they just learn differently? They're not dumb. Like the fact that the child is speaking and speaking, it's not understanding. They're just not understanding it because that's not how they learn. Not because they're dumb, but because they're different, and it's okay to be different. I mean, and for those in schools that may not be able to implement this, it'll be good to give it a shot. As a parent, you can help them learn through their preferred learning style at home. But do try and talk to the school about it. It actually saves time for teachers to not have to repeat and re-explain concepts too much. And then it gets rid, oh my goodness, of this exhausting and totally unnecessary after-school tutoring and conversations of why they didn't do well when everybody knows they're smart enough. We've had that severally. They're probably just not learning in the way that they're being taught. And, you know, this pressure from all around on academic performance and mounting stress in learners, it's crucial that we incorporate all modalities to ensure that learning is not a traumatizing experience, but a fun one. I mean, school can be made fun, and it's how it's supposed to be. Education is nice, you know. So your child may not be stubborn or restless in school as early assumed or slow to understand. They're probably simply not being taught how they learn, and it is reflecting in their behavior and results. I'll leave us with a quote by Benjamin Franklin that says, "Tell me and I forget. Teach me and I remember. Involve me and I learn." So let's work to find ways that we can have each of our children fully involved in their learning. And well, by the way, thank you for listening. That is it for me for this first episode. I really hope that we will actually seek to find out how our children learn best after this. And I'm excited to see how it will turn out, because when implemented well, you will see the impact immediately in your child. So please share your successes and testimonies with me on my email, parentingbabysteps@gmail.com. parentingbabysteps@gmail.com. And if you have any questions, clarifications, anything on this topic, or any other topic, or you'd like to meet me or something, just drop an email and we will pick it up from there. And keep in mind that every child can learn, just not the same things on the same day or in the same way. And a quick reminder, by the way, there will be a new episode twice. I'll be posting episodes twice every month. So let's connect the week after next, every second and fourth Tuesday. So once again, Happy New Year and blessings galore from me. See you in 2 weeks. Bye.